You are now listening to episode 3 of the Political Pause Podcast. I'm Daniel.
And I'm Evan.
And we are your hosts. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And before I forget, just as like a, I've like gone back recently actually and listened to the first episode.
Uh-huh.
And it's aged really badly.
Because of the whole Roseanne thing?
Well, because of the news cycle. Because, right. Yeah, because obviously, because we spent like a half hour talking about like, Roseanne, this is amazing! Right. And then, you know, fast forward,
she screwed everything up.
Yeah. And then there's also a part where I'm like, oh, Eric Schneiderman, he's so sexy. And then, like, literally fast forward to a month and he's...
And he's gone?
Well, yeah, he turns out he physically abuses his wives.
Which is not sexy.
Which is not sexy, no.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
So Roseanne and Eric Schneiderman are out.
Yeah, but that is the risk you take saying an opinion in today's age.
Things come out.
And
things come to light.
And what's fine one day is a sexual predator the next.
Yes, exactly.
Or a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Well, we'll see about that.
We'll see about that. So... But yeah, so Roseanne last week tweeted some pretty racist shit.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people lost their jobs. And
well, just to backtrack a little. So, right, like she tweeted about Valerie Jarrett, President Obama's, former President Obama, is aide. So, yeah, she was always like an inner part of his circle. Roseanne... Obviously, and we even knew this prior, I mean, she's peddled a lot in these conspiracy theories that plague the interwebs, particularly the Twitter sphere, and, you know, this was just another example of it, but she, like, really stepped on the landmine. It was the most racist of racist tropes that you could go down, and there's no way it wasn't a conscious decision to do so. And I don't know if maybe she felt cocky because she had the number one show on TV, and so she felt like, well, no one's going to touch me at this point.
Well, I mean, if she's following by example, her idol was right. The same thing, and he's in the White House, so...
Right.
But that's the thing, is that he's inspiring all these other people to act like he does, but they don't have the protection of the Oval Office behind them.
Exactly. He can do whatever he wants because he doesn't necessarily need... advertisers.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he has the campaign contributions coming from the people who agree with his racist ideology.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But I think it made us think a lot about Twitter and the role it played even in getting Trump to the White House in the first place.
Yeah.
Would he have even been able to amass a campaign like he did if Twitter didn't exist?
Right.
And what role does it now play in our society? And, like, it really, at this point, is it more detrimental than it is good? Mm. You know? Because, like, to me... So, I admittedly am not much of a Twitter user. I do have a Twitter. If you're angry at me, you could tweet at me all the angry things you want because I'll never see them because they never go on. So... You know, and I would say in general, you know, we've talked a lot about this, but, like, social media, it can go either direction. Sometimes it can really be a force for good, but I do think it causes a lot of unhappiness. I think there's a lot of comparison, there's a lot of, just, like, unnecessary information. Like, you know, you might not know what your, you know, best friend from high school that you just, like, decided... not to stay friends with and they moved on with their life was up to. But now you see, oh, they had a kid and they got married and blah, blah, and you start comparing your life to theirs. And, you know, it just creates these windows into people's lives that, you know, wouldn't otherwise be there. And also, it's what people want you to see.
Right.
You know, people are not necessarily always sharing the down times or the bad times or things like that. So there's that aspect of social media. And then Twitter is just, like, specifically designed to be short and direct and, I think, to have the biggest splash with your Twitter account, you need to be provocative.
Well, and not only do you need to be provocative, but nothing is stopping you from being the most provocative you can be.
Right.
Because, and I think that, so full disclosure, I'm not what you would call a constant user of Twitter, but I do, I mean, at least follow people, I retweet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I do feel like it's interesting to me how Twitter is the one, you find yourself asking, like, does Twitter need to be regulated? Even right. if it's self-regulated, because it really is, when you think about it, the only social media platform that there are no rules.
Right.
To be banned on Twitter, you really, really need to, like, want to be, the only person I can actually even think of who was, like, banned from Twitter is, like, Azealia Banks. And that was literally after, like...
Right, tirade after tirade.
Tirade. Like, she really had to, like, go very far before Twitter finally stepped in and was, like, enough. But when you think of, like, Facebook, like, I mean, for all of the things it did during the election, like, you can't do a lot of shit on Facebook.
Right.
Instagram, you can't.
Yeah. If you're showing your pubes on Facebook, right, it's off.
You can't turn your Instagram account into your own porn site.
Right, which you can do with Twitter, I was surprised to find out.
And I think that in itself is the issue. That's one of the issues, actually. So, like, because, and it Twitter is kind of like an anarchy in a way. It's a digital anarchy.
Right.
And
Instagram has rules too. I know Instagram's owned by Facebook, but still, like, has its own set of rules.
And I mean, just about any social media, I think, has rules. Even Snapchat,
right?
In a way,
yeah.
I'm not gonna fall on that sword just because I literally, like, as infrequently as I use Twitter, I think I've snapped like 5 times.
Yeah, we're at the older end.
We're at the older end of the spectrum. Yeah.
So Snapchat was not really our jam.
No.
But I know people who have definitely gotten in trouble for. I know you're technically not supposed to be snapping like naked pictures and videos of you having sex. So
yeah.
I know people do, but right. I also know you're technically not supposed to, and I'm pretty sure accounts have been closed over it and stuff like that.
Yeah, but Twitter, there really is nothing. There's no... So no one on Twitter's end is regulating it. But then also, you have this, like, dangerous thing where people are kind of, like, self-regulating themselves in that... Like, you can't have this middle-of-the-road thing where either... Like, either... Like, Twitter either has to be completely Wild West or has to be regulated. And right now... Because you're able to block people, you're able to kind of have the best of both worlds.
Right. Though, but there was just that case that judge decided that Trump cannot block people because it's like a violation of their First Amendment right or something like that. But like, that the President of the United States does not have the right to block people because they have the right to get information from him.
But I like, beyond the scope of Trump, also, one of the reasons why that, like, Twitter's been... I have actually been increasing my participation. I've been following Cynthia Nixon, our potential future governor of New York State.
Yes.
And I've gone into a few Twitter... Like, literally, I think I've actually... I mean, well, this is actually a perfect example. So, like, the plus side of following Cynthia Nixon's Twitter is, like, I've been getting all these, like, updates to, like, events she's had,
Right, it's a great way to engage with someone and get quick information.
Exactly. On the negative side, I've, like, gotten into, like, full-fledged fights with random people.
It brings people into your, like, web that would never otherwise be there, like we were just talking about.
Right.
Like...
But then,
not even people you used to know, people you've never met your life.
Yeah, and in this case, this is like the New York State governor race. Like, literally, I clicked on, like, there was one fight I got into with this, like, after Cynthia Nixon was endorsed by Bernie Sanders, she tweeted about it, and someone...
Which was endorsed by Bernie Sanders.
Sorry, correction.
The Nation.
The Nation, no,
Our Revolution.
Our Revolution.
Okay.
It was when she was endorsed by Our Revolution.
Oh, okay.
And then... Yeah,
Bernie Sanders has not endorsed either way.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah.
But to this woman, he might as well have. And that, and because she was, like, posting, like, this, like, now that... She basically was saying, now that Bernie Sanders has endorsed Cynthia Nixon, she's going to lose all the support of all the people. I clicked on her profile. She lived in Santa Monica. And it's just like...
Stay out of this.
But yeah. I started having a conversation with her, and I was trying to... I was, like, trying to really be as diplomatic as possible, and, like, I didn't resort to any name-calling, although she certainly did, but I was trying to, you know, when they go low, we go high. It really...
But, you know, that it brings me to, like, the other question, though, is, like, on social media, is there ever, like, it does make me wonder, because, you know, I post a lot of political stuff on Facebook, and, like, I'm always kind of, like... You know, is it just, like, does it ever change anyone's heart or mind?
Well, but this is the thing. I think I finally reached a point where she literally could not, like, it was getting to the point where we were going around in circles, and she literally could not come up with any logistical response that didn't result in name calling to anything I was saying. And so she blocked me.
Right.
And I feel like, instead of continuing the conversation... Because she had this option to block me, she can now go on.
But what does it also say about us as people that, and this woman is not alone, that when we reach a point where I can't outsmart or whatever your argument, instead of saying, maybe he has a point, I say, well, screw him! I don't want to even see his face anymore. Like,
right.
You know, like, I'd rather not know you exist than admit that you have a point.
But I think the fact that you have that option to...
So do you think Twitter should take away the block?
I do.
So
I do.
You can't block people no
matter what. Well, that's... Because as I was like kind of opening this with, it's like either Twitter should be the Wild West where...
Everyone can talk to you,
or there should be regular... Or it should be regular... But you can't have this like in-between thing. Because what ends up happening is, sure, if in the case where... you are a high-profile person, and you're not anonymous, there might be some consequences, as there were with Roseanne. But by and large, there are no consequences. There's no, like, literally, like, she blocked me, and then that was the end of the conversation. Whereas, like, think about it. If you had to engage in a conversation, and you know the only way to end the conversation was by coming to some sort of mutual understanding between you and the other person...
Right.
You would think about what you would be saying before the words came out of your mouth or were tweeted in 280 characters.
Or you would at least consider, is this an argument worth having?
Right, exactly.
Do I want to go down this road with someone?
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point now, especially after the 2016 election. Oh, like the Olympics. it's a whole other story.
Yeah.
After the 2016 election, that I really started to think to myself, like, now I see, like, people's posts, like, people we know and stuff like that, and I'm just like, I'm not saying anything. Because, like, I just don't want to start it. Like, I don't want to go down this road. I know that they're never going to, like, they're never going to concede. They're never going to say he has a point. I really don't feel they have a point. And, you know, like, and then it becomes, well, what is the point of this? Is it just, like... to be an echo chamber, you know? And it's similar to, like, what we talk about with cable news. Like, you know, if you're conservative, you watch Fox News, and if you're liberal, you watch MSNBC because you just want to hear what you already believe to be true, and you want to hear it, you know, echoed back to you.
Yeah.
And that's all you're looking for. You're not looking for new information. You're not looking to have introspection or deep thought. You just want to hear what you already believe.
Right.
And I feel like that's a lot of what we've become as a country. And, you know... I don't feel Twitter's making it any better.
I mean, the only thing I say, Twitter... I mean, because if you think... I mean,
what would you say are the upsides of Twitter? What would you say are the benefits?
I would say that, actually... I would say some of the big social movements of the last decade have come from Twitter.
So, like, Black Lives Matter,
Me Too, most recently. So, I do think it has... And I would even say, like... Twitter probably played a big part in Obama being elected.
Well, he was the first one to really utilize social media.
Yeah. So I do, like, Twitter has its, and outside of America, like, I know when the Arab Spring was happening and right. all these revolutions in the East, like, people were using Twitter to organize and to get things done. So like, it has, I think, a good purpose. It's just, it's something needs to be done.
Right.
It can't continue existing the way it
because,
is.
Right, so that's the upside. Now, the downside, I would say, is it's also done a great job of spreading false information. Like, look right. at all those Russian bots and all that stuff. Look at how fake news travels so quickly. And people that should be quote-unquote reputable, like someone like Roseanne even, can peddle yeah. these crazy out-there theories and spread them far and wide to millions and millions of people in an instant.
Right.
You know? And, like... Right, there needs to be some regulation of that. The same way Facebook is now starting to regulate fake news.
Right.
Because, like, it can literally lead to the deaths of people. Like, we saw that guy who showed up at that pizza place. Yeah, because, of course, Hillary Clinton is running a child sex trafficking ring at a pizza place in D.C. That makes a lot of sense. But, yeah. you know, these things, yeah, they just spread so far, so wide, so quickly, and they can come from anywhere. And, you know, and our own president right now is someone who peddles in these things, who,
yeah.
you know, puts out there these crazy out there things. And even from a foreign policy standpoint, like, it's so unhelpful that he has a Twitter account. You know,
yeah.
Look at how he provokes people. I just feel
like, can Twitter at least come in and be like, you know what, maybe the president of the United States should not have a Twitter account.
Right.
Like, I don't, like
it's why? So hard, though. Like, because, right, like, when... Obama had the POTUS account. It was, like, a good thing. It was, like, a really great way right. for him to communicate with the people.
Yeah.
And he used it really well. And, like, you know... And this is not a liberal, conservative thing. Like, John McCain has a great Twitter account. Right? You know, like,
right.
I don't agree I don't, with everything I, yeah. he's saying. But, like, he uses it well.
Yeah.
You know, like, the point is, like, conservatives could use it well also. It's just... These people, and there are people on the left that pander crazy out there
sure,
things yeah. too, you know, and use Twitter for that, you know. And I just think it just makes it way too easy. But, you know, to play devil's advocate again is like, but then also how much of the onus is like on us? When I see someone post a story, and I see it sometimes on Facebook and stuff like that, where I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense. Like, how on earth could this be a real story?
Right.
And I just take the headline and type it into Google. That's all I do. And I see what other news sources are reporting on it. And if not one reputable news source has picked that up,
yeah.
and then I'm like, okay, this doesn't seem to be true. It just takes that much effort.
But we also have like news literacy.
Yeah.
And so, which is actually, I think, what we really... It's interesting because we went to Stony Brook and one of the required classes at Stony Brook, regardless of, I was a journalism major, but regardless of what major you are, you're supposed to, is a requirement now that you have to take this news literacy class. And I feel like that should be like a standard yeah. thing because it's such a, it's almost like home ed now. Like,
right.
We, and I think education could be its own episode, but I do think we yeah. need to kind of go back and really revisit what needs to be taught in school. And news literacy, for sure, is one of the things that needs to be taught. Because people need to be able to differentiate, like, the fact that, like, Fox News and the New York Times are not the same
right.
level of reporting or...
Or even, even Fox News is at a level that's above some of these other things that you see out there. You know?
Right.
Like, that's true. I mean... Like, some of the, like, you know, radio shows and things like that. That, like...
Or,
like,
Alex Jones, okay, right. So here's the thing, though. And this does kind
of... InfoWars.
I think this ties into the whole Twitter and the First Amendment, and it's... Because, you know, they say... I mean, well, not they. The Constitution says, you can't... Well, maybe the Constitution doesn't say you can't yell fire in a busy theater, but that's what... Isn't that what
right, that's, like, the line.
Yeah.
Right, like, basically, your freedom of speech until you're, like, causing panic or inciting violence.
Is that not what these people are doing, though?
Right.
So, like, how does that get enforced?
Right.
Because, no, like, literally, he had a guy go into a pizza place and was ready to, like,
yeah,
shoot it up because he thought Hillary Clinton had, like, some child sex ring there. Like, how that is literally textbook definition inciting violence. Yeah. And it's like, that should be the, oh, I was going to say, it should be banned by the FCC, but
yeah,
I forget.
Right, exactly.
Well, okay, so Democrats, whenever you, hopefully when you take back control of our government,
yeah,
can you do something about that Alex Jones and do something about Twitter? Because something needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
You spent like a whole day interviewing fucking Mark Zuckerberg, and it's like, why don't you hold whoever Twitter's, who is Twitter's CEO?
I don't know.
They're smart.
They're off the radar.
Seriously.
And this is not about infringing on free speech, because, like, as I told you, you know, last weekend I went to the Brooklyn Pride Parade,
yeah,
and there were these people there with these, like, Jesus wants you to repent, blah, 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 like, placards. And, like, I felt they had the right to be there. I had no problem with that. And a friend who was like, you know, oh, did you, like, try to, like, get them to leave? Did people throw things at them? And I was like, no. And I would have been upset if people threw things at them. Like,
yeah,
we have the right to march. They have the right to stand on the side in opposition.
Yeah.
As long as it's peaceful. And they can stand there with whatever signs they want. They can tell me I'm going to hell. They can tell me that, you know, right, Jesus loves me and I need to repent.
But
I have the right to have my thing. And that's it.
Right. And we have we also reserve the right to respond to their, civilly,
right,
respond to what they're saying and disagree with them.
Well, that's the thing.
Even if the way we disagree with them hurts their feelings.
Right.
And that is also another thing that needs to be...
Well, because their presence definitely hurt people's feelings in the parade. But,
right,
or in the march. But that's all, like, that's something, like, that will happen.
But there needs to be the separation of hurt feelings and free speech.
Right.
Just because your feelings are being hurt does not mean you're
protected against it. Right.
Yeah. Or
that's part of society. Sometimes, yeah, feelings get hurt. Free speech trumps hurt feelings.
Exactly.
That's the way it goes.
As long as it just doesn't trump hurt people.
Right.
Physically hurt people. You can't incite
violence and harm the society. Like, I think that's another thing.
And I would even say, yeah, Trump, one could even argue that Trump inciting white nationalism is like inciting violence, which he's done on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, attorney generals, if you're out there listening, which you aren't, but maybe one day you'll find this episode.
Yeah.
We are providing you with your arguments against...
That's right.
...the Trump administration and Twitter. Use them because something needs to be done about Twitter.
Absolutely. It just can't continue like this. Nope. I mean...
It shouldn't be... Like, it has its value. It shouldn't be getting rid of...
I would say it's akin to, like, an airplane ride.
Mm.
Riding airplanes is a great thing. It's a great invention. It's a great mode of transportation. Freedom of movement is something we all agree on. However, you need to do it safely. You can't just bring anything onto the plane, because we need to make sure that everyone is safe and no one's going to do anything reckless with the plane.
I agree.
It's a privilege, not a right.
Exactly.
Freedom of speech is a right. Twitter is a privilege. That's how I would break it down.
True. 100% emoji.
Two hands up emoji.
Yes.
Exactly.
So. I feel like
Yeah.
I mean, that was a short episode, but I think we said everything we need to say.
Exactly.
Once again, follow us on... We're not on Twitter,
I think we've made that abundantly
clear.
But we
are on Instagram, the Political Pause, and we are on Facebook, and we're on Anchor and iTunes. So,
all right,
find us, rate and review, 5 stars, nothing less.
Tell us how much you love us.
I can't believe I actually did that, because, okay, for real... So I look, because there are a number of podcasts I listen to, and they always do this thing, and like a lot of them are like, go on iTunes and give us 5-star reviews.
Now you're one of them.
So do that. Thank you for listening, and we will be back with our next episode, hopefully a lot sooner than we were with the last couple ones.
Yeah, we're going to speed them up.
We're going to speed them up. Pump them out. We're like the great American, what's that thing Ford did? Assembly line.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
That little invention.
Yeah, listen to us. We're the experts. Exactly. All right, peace out.
Bye. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.